Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
One, two, three, five!
Mr. Chairman, there are 29 items on the Budget Finance Consent Agenda. Please drop card 2-16, 2-19, and 2-20, and there are no speakers.
Okay, I just want to make a comment on 2-5. Is there anyone that anyone else on the board wants to hold? So can we move the balance?
So move, I move the balance.
All right.
Second.
Okay. Please vote. The clerk sent me a note. She'd like to make a comment on the Budget and Finance. I'm sorry, Pam.
Yes, I just wanted to do this before you vote. So it's more to inform you. I'm not really looking for a response, so I'd like to just read this so it's clear. I began reviewing the use of commissioners' discretionary funds.
when you're watching the Escambia County Commission meeting, and everything's just going fast. We're in the middle of a 44-minute meeting. I mean, it might be the fastest meeting on record. And nothing's happening. Boring, boring consent agenda. Pam Childers, hey, I just want to let you know I'm not looking for a conversation here, but I have been looking at your discretionary funds. And if you weren't, you know, familiar with any of the terms or the history, you might have thought, you know. I'm telling you, my immediate reaction was, oh, here we go. I know this is about to get good. So if you're not familiar, the discretionary funding, and, you know, most of your governments do this. I'm trying to think if they all do. I know City of Pensacola does it. You know, Santa Rosa County does it. I don't think Milton does it. Anyway, in Escambia, the way it works is you get $50,000 a year. That is meant to be, petty cash, okay? I mean, it's not really that way, but it's kind of like every commissioner is going to come across things in their district that are, you know, fairly small expenditures. And the idea is that they're going to do stuff with this money that's going to benefit the public, and it doesn't necessarily need to be a line item part of the big budget. Although most of the stuff, I mean, it does get voted on. It actually has to get approved by other. But typically, you hear things like, you know, the basketball team is going to state and we want to help them with jerseys, or the food distribution site needs to buy some food and we're going to give them food, or just, you know, there's some event going on and we're buying admission for people who can't afford it. It's generally like fairly small. And again, by small, I mean like $500,000. Acts of political benevolence, okay? Now, if you want to call that petty cash, if you want to call that largesse, if you want to call that a slush fund, if you want to call it a, you know, small expenditures at the discretion, I mean, depending on whether you're pro or con, this concept is kind of how you're going to pick it. But that's basically the idea. It's been going on for years, and occasionally this comes up as a should we really be doing this kind of conversation? Is this appropriate? Should the government be in the position of giving to charities? Largely, that's kind of how this looks. Of course, the government gives, you know, larger amounts to bigger events, for example, and activities that you actually have a thing called outside agency funding that comes up every year where you have all of your different charitable organizations in town that do things come and say, we need $50,000, we need $100,000, we need $75,000, and then it's a whole part of this budgetary process. This is the kind of the small scale version of that. And, you know, I mean, Doug Underhill raised this question a lot, like, why do we do this? I myself have questions about this. So I know the history here, and it was interesting that all of a sudden Pam says, oh, here we go.
Taxpayers' dollars must be spent in a manner that is consistent with Article 7 of the Florida Constitution, which requires a lawful county public purpose. The public purpose for discretionary expenditures is not obvious when you allocate to private galas, picnics, benefits, church revivals, school softball teams, and golf tournaments.
Oh, no. She's not just saying the public purpose isn't obvious. She's saying it's not there. Therefore, all of these different expenditures, and if you look at the list, Studio 850 did a really good job of, I mean, it may have just been a document they got from the county, but they, John Singley, who's a good friend and very good newsman, he produced this to, you know, give you a list of all the different things that they have spent money on over the last, like, 5 years. And it's just, I mean, I'm telling you, it's all kinds of stuff. Uniforms for Escambia High sports team, an AED machine for the American Legion. And I'm not giving you particular, it doesn't matter who, what district, they're from all different kinds of things. You know, funding for, you know, wildlife sanctuary, uniforms for the Cantonment Football Club, I don't know, Walmart purchases for some things for the Brownsville toy giveaway. Like, you get the point. It's like there's money all over the board to the tune of roughly $50,000 a year. And sometimes they underspend and then they carry over and then they overspend. But, you know, that's basically the idea. Tate baseball, Pine Forest High, Gulf Coast Veterans. So Pam says, yeah, you know, but I don't see how some of these things can even be argued to have a public purpose. And so I am going to take a little bit of action here. I'm going to give you, first of all, some advice.
Looking at this in a different way, taxpayers do not pay taxes for the county to make donations to private organizations of their choosing to enhance the mission of that organization.
So you shouldn't be using taxpayer money as a personal feel-good, get-good public credit account, which is certainly how it does get used. The commissioners get to feel very important and good about themselves, and, you know, the recipients of this money get to get something that they would otherwise maybe have struggled to get. And so the commissioner gets to be known for buying the uniforms or paying the entrance fees or providing the food or whatever it is. And in the past, when you hear the conversations around these gifts, it's very much a, you know, Commissioner A, you know, I'm gonna give $1,000 to this thing. Commissioner B, I'll join you for $500. Commissioner C, yeah, I'll join you for $750. And everybody gets to feel really good about their benevolence with my money. I mean, that's how it works. And then, of course, the flip side of that, and maybe the slightly less awesome part, is if you're an organization that's accustomed to getting these small-scale gifts, then are you very likely to be outspoken in your criticism of your sitting county commissioner? If you're an agency, remember the outside agency concept? If you're an outside agency that gets $50,000 or $100,000 a year from the county commission, are you likely to be outspoken or critical or ask questions in the public about your county commissioner who's giving you and your organization a bunch of money? You see the problem, right? Our taxpayer money could be doing good things. These are typically always good organizations doing good things. But should the county commissioners be, A, is it justified as a good public purpose? Why shouldn't they be doing this with their own money? And B, you know, it kind of creates a scenario where you have, let's call it soft corruption. Okay? It could also be not that way, but it's a favor currying exercise, right? I mean, you can see, if you look at it uncharitably, that's what you see. And so Pam Childers goes on and says, not only, you know, shouldn't public money be going for this particular thing, but also, you know, there are some cases where it's really not right.
Also, there is a specific prohibition in Article 1 of the Florida Constitution preventing revenue from being taken from the public treasury to aid any church or religious denomination. If the commissioners want to support those organizations, a personal contribution is more appropriate.
If it's going to a religious organization, a church, even if they're doing you know, normal, good kind of thing, that seems to be problematic. Now, I don't have any problem with government helping. If they're going to help charities, I don't think they should only be able to help non-religious or atheistic charities. I'm telling you Andrew McKay's view, okay? But you may be familiar with concepts that other people think are really important, like the total separation between church and state. You shouldn't have the government funding anything that has to do with a denominational advancement. See, I think that if you're advancing evangelism, that's a problem. But if you're advancing the charitable work to help people who are poor or needy that happens to be done by an organization that also engages in evangelism, I don't have a problem. But, you know, but this is a conversation. And she's saying specifically in that case, it's not good.
I will be holding discretionary funding request until my review and opinion is completed.
Oh, I'm not writing any more checks. That's the reveal. We're not writing any more checks, and what you need to do is you need to start thinking hard about your requests of me to write these checks. I'm looking at the law very carefully to make sure that we are in line with the law so that if somebody asks a question about this. Also, you know, you've heard that there's like the Doge at the federal level and then there's the state Doge, and we've got this letter sent out asking us if we're financially, you know, solvent. And maybe it makes sense to look at all of our expenditures and ask the question, is this justified? Is this appropriate? Should we be continuing to do this?
This is something that I've started reviewing. It's come up through the years, seeing more on the agenda for churches, raised my awareness. I've been doing research. I planned on having a report ready for May. So I'm just putting you on notice that starting tonight, I'm holding all discretionary fund requests until my review is complete.
Eek! now that we've gotten into the subject a little bit, you understand why...
Why I played that?
Oh, you don't... The commissioner's not thrilled about this announcement. And by the way, it just happened to be that week. In fact, this is what she says got her attention, was, for example, there was a request on here for funding to St. Elizabeth Catholic Church from Stephen Barry in District 5. Now, and there was a collection, Connecting the Pieces Gala, fundraiser for Autism Pensacola, Englewood Fox 3 Community South, that's a different one. Funding allocation for the Vet CV Foundation, that was Lumen May and Ashley Hoffberger respectively. So it was all different kinds of things, but she's saying, looks like churches are a hard no. Other things are going to be a depends on what you tell me the public purpose is. And we need to really look at this and figure it out. And, you know, she's been talking with the attorney off and on. And she says, this is not really a conversation. This is more me making an announcement. Well, you don't take away somebody's change purse and then tell them that they can't talk to you about it. Because the commissioners want to talk.
And that's fine. Madam Clerk, I mean, we're going to respect you write the checks. But, I mean, it's certainly alarming and disappointing that we've done it for 10 years. And at this point now, we're beginning to do a review in which we've helped multiple organizations, which I'm not a lawyer, that benefits the good of the community. And so at this point, you know, I don't do a lot of them, so it really doesn't matter to me.
Okay, I mean, that's so good. I'd like to review it, and I'd like your input.
Yeah.
I've never heard a person be on so many different sides of an issue in the space of 28 seconds. I mean, it's alarming and disturbing. We've been doing this an awful long time. Now, all of a sudden, we're not sure that it's okay. But we did a bunch of good stuff with it, right? But, I mean, I don't really do anything this way anyway, so I'm not really invested in this either. Like, how many different ways can you contradict yourself in the space of just a short period of time? So Pam Childers says, look, with all the stuff going on at the state level and all the federal level and just generally speaking, let's make sure our house is nice and clean. And, of course, she's been the clerk this whole time, or she's been the comptroller this whole time. And so, you know, the issue of, well, what about the last 10 years or whatever? Fair question. But I think her answer is going to be, well, I want to get it right now. We're not going to go back and take back money from the past. Probably. but They're asking for guidance. You know, what's the takeaway here?
I'd love to, for you to show us how we can rather than how we can't, and how can we do it to continue to help.
And there are concrete public purpose that you can state. You're trying to reach a certain mission. You can't just say it's public purpose and voila, it is. You have to state what it is, and I think we need to get in a better habit of doing that. I've discussed with the county attorney during time, different times, about a form, about a written form.
So you've talked to the county attorney, because this is the first I've heard of this.
Well, I haven't really needed to talk to you about it, and I think...
I've been talking off and on with Allison Rogers. This is the first time I've heard of it. Well, I didn't really need to talk to you about it. And listen... In fairness, you have to understand that there is long, deep, let's just say, not perfect harmony between Pam Childers and Stephen Barry and Lumen May. And, of course, when he was there still, Jeff Bergosh at the time. And so, there's a lot of backstory to the sort of personal issues here. Is that motivating any of this? I mean, you know, you can... be right and still have personal issues. You can be wrong. I mean, you know, so, and like, a, you know, full disclosure, I consider Pam a friend. I generally tend to think that she's right on a lot of things. I think she's right to ask these questions. You know, did it need to be this abrupt? And did it need to be a kind of a, I'm talking, you're listening kind of, I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure they've exactly earned the goodwill on their side for their behavior back to her over the years, everything from the 401A to, I mean, pick it. It just seems we've had a lot of issues here. Anyway, so she goes on and finishes her thought.
About it, and I think Allison's shaking her head yes, because we've had these.
Okay, and that's fine. I just hadn't heard of it.
Because
for the constituents, it's important.
There's movement on the federal level, on the state level, for us to really look at our expenditures and making sure that they meet a public purpose. And again, my awareness went up today with the churches being on there. I think that is an absolute no. As I sit here right now.
And I agree with you, ma'am, because I've never funded a church.
I don't think you have.
I mean, separating a church and state, I'm with you on that.
Okay.
So this should be easy. Well, we'll see. Anyway, so that's your brief update on drama at the Escambia County Commission meeting. And, you know, I would have no problem getting rid of, in fact, I have advocated in the past for getting rid of this, you know, Commissioner Benevolence Fund. But, you know, conversations to come. 526 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
This is a story of the one. As a maintenance specialist for university housing, he knows college students can major in wear and tear. Plus, housing so many students doesn't leave a lot of room to house all the supplies he needs. That's where Grainger comes in. With over a million industrial-grade products and fast, dependable delivery, Grainger carries the quality products he needs so he doesn't have to. From a new door hinge to a whole new faucet. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's tax season. By now, we're all a bit tired of numbers, but here's one you need to hear. $16.5 billion. That's how much money in refunds the IRS flagged for possible identity fraud last year. Now, here's a good number, 100 million. That's how many data points LifeLock monitors every second. If your identity's stolen, they'll fix it guaranteed. Save up to 40% in your first year with promo code CLAY. Visit LifeLock.com. That's LifeLock.com. Promo code CLAY. Terms apply.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out tomorrow morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information about this tomorrow morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I set fires to feel joy.
See, I love that. I love watching John's reaction to the clips. Because he laughs because it's a funny clip. I set fires to feel joy in a whisper. And then I'm like, you remember Pitch Perfect? He's like, oh, yeah. And think of the, you know, so I always hope that everybody gets every movie reference. I know not everybody will. That's just the reality of the thing. So, all right. Let's see. 528 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, China now says that it will take resolute and effective measures to protect its interest in response to the tariffs imposed by the Trump administration. Of course, those are now 104% on Chinese imports. The increased tariffs took effect at midnight. At least 98 people are dead after the roof collapse at a nightclub in the Dominican Republic on Tuesday. Among the dead are two former MLB baseball players. The Army says it will be using horse-drawn caissons for some funerals at Arlington National Cemetery. The practice had been stopped 3 years ago after two horses died due to poor care. But starting over the summer, the caissons will be used two times a day and no more than 10 times a week.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 529 News Radio 92.3. Yeah, what are we up now to? 104%? Is that the number on
104,
China?
Yes.
104%. All right, you know, the tariffs are running a fever, a light fever. Maybe it's not quite time to go to the hospital. God, there's so much to be said about what's going on in the economy right now. I will tell you this. I don't know whether this is going to work or not. I appreciate the criticism that says, are we trying to establish negotiation strategy or are we establishing permanent tariffs? And the answer is the administration has said both. But in Trump's defense, his position on negotiating has always been, the less my opponent understands what I'm trying to accomplish, the more effective I can be at it. It's one of the basic problems with evaluating Trump is because normally unclarity, gray zone, smoke and mirrors are a bad thing. With him, that's all part of the strategy, so you never know if it's to work intentionally or not.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. New higher tariffs on imports from dozens of countries are now in effect, more than doubling importers' costs for Chinese products.
In a paper published this morning, it vows countermeasures, saying China's right to develop cannot be deprived. The government in Beijing believes it can ride out the economic storm. That's because exports to the United States only account for 2% of China's GDP.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. The head of the IRS resigns over a deal to share data with immigration authorities. It's now at least 98 people reported killed in the collapse of a nightclub roof in the Dominican Republic, including singer Rubby Perez, who was performing at the time, and former Major League Baseball relief pitcher Octavio Dotel.
Dotel won a World Series with the Cardinals in 2011 and played for 13 teams during his career. The Mets, Dotel's first organization, held a moment of silence before their Tuesday game against the Marlins.
Fox's Joe Morgan. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 52 degrees and clear skies here in Pensacola. Northwest Florida is feeling the effects of President Trump's tariffs.
Right now everyone's sort of in a wait-and-see mode.
That is Todd Thompson from the Greater Pensacola Chamber. He tells Channel 3 the chamber is watching the military and defense sectors for potential impacts from the trade policies. Local Marine veteran Brent Chavnor is no longer facing charges after state prosecutors dropped the case. Chavnor was charged in October for allegedly stealing a computer from Walmart by returning a gutted gaming PC for a full refund. He reported the computer was incomplete when he purchased it, prompting the return. Body cam footage from police revealed discussions on the case. No conclusive evidence was found. He has since hired an attorney. There's no word from the state attorney's office on why those charges were dropped. The Department of Justice releasing some new evidence related to the Ryan Ruth case. That's the man accused of attempting to assassinate Donald Trump in Florida.
Ruth is accused of attempting to assassinate Trump at his West Palm Beach golf course in September. A new DOJ court filing shows an alleged text from Ruth to an individual he believed to be a Ukrainian arms dealer, in which he writes he wants to be sent a rocket-propelled grenade so that Trump cannot get elected. He reportedly wanted to fire it at Trump's personal plane. Goes on to say Trump is not good for Ukraine. The feds call it a substantial step in Ruth's plan to kill Trump. His trial is scheduled to take place in a Fort Pierce federal courtroom in September. I'm Joel Malkin.
Thank you very much, Joel. Well, Metallica is now teaming up with the Red Cross for blood drives on their spring tour. The Rock and Roll Hall of Famers Charity Foundation, All Within My Hands, will be hosting those drives near the venues they're performing. The first one is happening in New York. Metallica's North American tour visits a dozen U.S. cities and wraps up in late June. Officials in Florida say death row inmate Michael Tanzi has been executed. The 48-year-old died by lethal injection yesterday in the Florida State Prison in Rayford. Tanzi was put to death for the 2000 kidnapping and murder of Miami Herald employee Janet Acosta. It's the nation's 11th execution in 2025, the third in Florida. Tanzi apologized to Acosta's relatives before the drugs were administered. Now, Seminole County is going to stop adding fluoride to its drinking water. Their county commission voting 4-1 yesterday to no longer add fluoride. They've been doing that for about 35 years now. This will affect 40,000 customers. The county is the largest provider in Central Florida to vote to stop adding fluoride to its water supply. Well, the national champs are back in Gainesville today. The University of Florida men's basketball team returned to their campus yesterday to celebrate their win Monday night. Thousands of people attended a pep rally. An even larger celebration is being planned for this weekend. It is 5:35 at News Radio 92.3, 51 degrees in Pensacola, 53 in Gulf Breeze, 48 in Milton. Your next news is at 6 o'clock. We have breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. President Trump's tariffs on imports from dozens of countries have gone into effect, dramatically ramping up a potential global trade war. Asian and European markets have fallen since the tariffs took effect. U.S. stocks also took a nosedive before becoming mostly mixed. China's foreign ministry has reiterated that Beijing will take resolute and forceful measures to protect its own interests after net total tariffs of 104% on Chinese imports into the U.S. took effect. Pittsburgh International Airport has raised the budget for its new terminal to $1.7 billion, an increase from the nearly $1.6 billion estimate it has reported for over a year. Airport spokesman Bob Kerlick said the funding bump was necessary due to a combination of inflation and the cost of capital projects associated with the terminal. Futures are mixed. Tuesday, the Dow Industrials lost 320, the NASDAQ down 335, the S&P 500 down 79. Once again, futures are mixed. That's Your Money Now.
For reliable and trustworthy auto service in Pensacola, look no further than Matrix Auto Service on Davis Highway. Their expert technicians are dedicated to providing top-notch service and repairs for all makes and models. From routine oil changes to complex repairs, they've got you covered. At Matrix Auto Service, they pride themselves on transparency, honesty, and customer satisfaction, with their number one goal to get you back on the road quickly and safely. Matrix Auto Service, 5675 North Davis Highway, Pensacola. Call them today.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator method of adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me this Friday on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
This is the sheriff's budget that was recommended that we voted on for the next 3 years. I had the opportunity to sit down with the sheriff, his chief of staff, as well as the county administrator. And I just wanted to thank the sheriff for what I thought was somewhat reasonable negotiations. And I look forward to working with him. It's going to benefit all of our districts, I think. But I just wanted to say thank you, Chip Simmons, and thank you, Wes, for your leadership on that. So that's all I had to say on that.
Thank you, Chip Simmons. Thank you, Wes Moreno, for your leadership. You're mostly reasonable or somewhat reasonable. That's a tiny little bit of shade from Mike Kohler, the chairman of the Board of County Commissioners in Escambia County, talking about our dear Sheriff Chip Simmons and negotiations over the three-year interlocal?
Three-year.
Yeah, all right. By the way, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Good to have you. So what's in this agreement? You know, what's the cost of your service, growth? Tell me what we're looking at.
Well, it's really as simple as we, as an independent constitutional entity, go to the Board of County Commissioners for our budget. That's statutory.
I feel like, you know, let's just take 2 seconds and explain it. A constitutional officer is somebody that the state constitution provides for the election of, that operates independently from the Board of County Commissioners. But, as is normal in every county, they still get their funding from the county commission. So even though you're independent, you're not independent. You don't control your own funds because, of course, you can't raise your own taxes directly. So anyway,
yeah, it's checks and balance.
Right. So just when we say constitutional officer, maybe not everybody gets that phrase. I just wanted to stop for a second. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, and it's as simple as the Board of County Commissioner funds county operations, but they also fund the five constitutionals, which, again, the sheriff's office is included in that. So we go to the board. We say, hey, these are the needs. By statute, we're required to say this is what it costs personnel and operating and then jail if we had the jail. And then the board will decide, more or less. We can appeal the budget if we want to the governor.
That happened a few years ago under David Morgan, right? Yeah.
Well, the appeal was – there was an appeal initiated, but we mediated.
You resolved it, yeah.
But over the years, over the 20, 30 years of the sheriff's office, there has been a couple of appeals that has gone to the governor and the governor decides. So there's some checks and balances. So what I did is I met with the chairman and I met with Wes Marino. Me and my chief of staff, Whitney Lucas, went to – the county commission and said, hey, this is what the needs are. And we discussed it. There was some back and forth, as there should be. Mm-hmm. I understand that the county has to fund a lot of things. There's a lot of people pulling at their purse strings. And we developed a middle ground here, more or less, that I think that allows for manpower and allows for competitive compensation for our deputies and what they deserve. So that's what we went forward with, and it's an amount of money that will allow for current operations but also allow us to add 8 deputies this October, 8 deputies the following October, and then 8 more deputies the third year of the interlocal.
To a staff of 400 deputies?
We have about 448 sworn deputies right now.
Okay, so this is about a 2% increase each year.
Ultimately, what I looked at is how many deputies we have in obviously in the current population of Escambia County, but also with all the future growth that's going on in all neighborhoods and where we need to be. I happen to think we should be around 500 deputies in Escambia County, but I also understand you can't get there all in one bite.
Sure.
We have to kind of work towards that. So this is a big step towards getting to where I think we need to be and to prepare for, you know, 15 years down the road, 20 years down the road. In the past probably 10, 15 years, we haven't been able to add before I took office, we weren't able to add sworn deputy positions because we weren't able to hire. We had a lot of vacancies were filled up. We've made some changes. We have our own police academy now, training academy, mm-hmm. and it allows flexibility. So, you know, there are many times during the year that we have zero vacancies. In fact, just last month we had zero vacancies. Since then, we've had some attrition, so we have a couple of vacancies. We have one class that's about to graduate, another class starting. So my point is we are getting the deputies to come to the sheriff's office. The sheriff's office is a place people want to come to, and we're hiring local and military veterans, so that works out. So deputies, but also allows for an amount of money that I can discuss with the union, collective bargaining, and I can figure out exactly where the pay raises go to.
And so on that note, current annual budget is –
About $95 million.
Okay, and the next 3 years are going to be 100.
100. It goes up $5 million, $6 million, and I think $6.5 million.
Okay, so 100, 106, and 112 ish, something like that. The following years. Okay, which includes accounting for the inflationary costs period,
right.
Includes some pay raises, and also includes the 8 new positions stepping up to 8, 16, 24 new positions over the course of the next 3 years.
That's correct.
Okay, yeah. All right.
The comment was that, you know, it's the largest budget ever. They're always larger,
of course,
than last year's budget. You can't afford in today's dollars, you can't afford what you could before.
Right.
So they all do go up. You know, insurance goes up. Everything pretty much goes up. But I think it's a fair budget. I do appreciate the Board of County Commission looking at it and working with me on this. It allows the county to move forward with their budget process. They know,
they know what they've got left.
Because you know, we're a drain on, on the finances. It allows me to be able to look at not just this year, but next year whenever we start to look at what we're doing with our manpower. My intent right now is to put all eight in each year on the street, put them in uniform, responding to calls for service. Because as I mentioned before, the basic law enforcement as basic level is entering 911 calls and going to help people when they need help. But then my intention on the compensation part, while I haven't quite come to exactly where I'm going to go with it, my hope is to give the deputy level a little more percentage than the upper administration.
Okay.
So that's why it's going to take me a little bit of time to figure out that.
Okay.
And also not I don't want anyone to forget about the non-sworn positions at the sheriff's office. But while a lot of attention is focused on the cars and the uniformed deputies, you have to understand there's a lot of support that takes place at a law enforcement agency, crime scene dispatch, and then all of our support.
Telecommunicators, which I don't think falls under your purview, but dispatch.
It does. We have our own dispatchers.
Oh, you have your separate. Oh, for the office, right, as opposed to the county. Very good. Quick follow-up for you, Sheriff Simmons, about the deputies hired in the positions. We're at around 440, you said 440?
About 448 or so.
Okay. And the good news is that we are able to hire when we want to hire because right now we're in a better environment with the agency than we were a few years ago.
Correct.
You say we want to be around 500, so 448, 456, 464 is growth towards, but still short of where you'd like to see us be. Two questions. One is, I had thought that the county was going to start working in a direction. I know it was Ashley Hoffberger's intention to bring the county in the direction of, hey, if we have a 5% population growth, the sheriff shouldn't have to come and ask us, the EMS fire shouldn't have to come and ask us for more people. We should have a built-in formula that resolves this because if there's more people, there obviously has to be more coverage because more people, more problems, right? And more revenue, both. Mm-hmm. But there's been no indication of an interest in that yet, right?
Yeah, and some counties do have something similar to that.
Okay.
Where they take a look at that and then they get their funding based upon the ad valorem growth.
Okay.
It's not my job to determine where the money comes from. It's the Board of County Commissioners.
Okay.
Again, the county commissioners are responsible for providing the compensation, the pay, the budget for the sheriff's office, but also the facilities.
I guess the reason I bring it up is if we had a surge of people next year,
right?
You know, being up eight is going to still put you farther behind because we had a surge of people. I guess I'd rather see some metric that makes it, hey, we got more people, we got more sheriffs, you know, like more sheriff's deputies. Like that to me makes more sense than every 3 years you have to come and negotiate a deal. Now, so far it's been with you at least and this board, it's been fairly amicable, which is
good.
Well,
and those are all the conversations that we've had. The number of where we are now, where we took a look at everything from the number of houses the neighborhoods that the county has approved, and where the projections are. And so those conversations do take place, but there's not a that I'm aware of, at least there's not something in the county that says if this goes population goes up to this, then you get this amount of money.
The other question I have has to do with sort of what I understand to be a fundamental inefficiency in how police agencies work with staff, and that is you're budgeted for, let's say, 460 in a couple of years. Mm-hmm. But if 20 people quit, well, you had to wait, and you know they're going to quit. You had to wait for them to quit before you can hire, instead of what makes more sense to me is, okay, we got 20 openings coming. Let's hire ahead, get them in the process so that the transition is less painful because having to wait to quit is like having to wait for the schools to be overpopulated before you build a new one. I'm not wrong about that, am I?
Well, and again, these conversations do take place on a weekly basis. When we know that people are going to retire, say, you know, if they're in the drop program, they have a certain end date. And when we know that we're going to have, say, you know, 10 of those in 1 month, then yeah, we start that hiring process because it does take a long time to hire a deputy. So we overfill a position.
Oh, you do?
As long as we stay within the budget the year. So,
okay.
I can use the one thing that has been rectified over the last couple of years is that the sheriff's office, the sheriff can move money back and forth. Once the budget's approved, then I can do whatever I need to with the budget. I don't go back to the Board of County Commission for the
Okay, so you can actually make a solution to what I was talking about by creative use of the funds you've already been appropriated.
Yes.
All right. Fair enough. On to other topics, because, again, I love to see the growth. I think it's important. I'm glad to see it's an amicable relationship and, you know, look, I'll be honest, you know, I hate to pay so much for law enforcement, but I'm really glad to have law enforcement, you know, and it just costs a lot of money. So that's just the reality of it. So,
well, there are,
and it's a basic function.
Exactly. I don't know that there's any county, that the sheriff's offices isn't the largest draw on finance.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, we don't make money. but you have to have the safety in your community.
I did want to ask you briefly about spring break. No major incidents this week, which I love. I'll take that. That's right. A great news report, especially when we're talking about budgets. On spring break, also no major incidents, but your signboard, your message board. Yeah. I think the one I caught was something about, you know, fighting is prohibited on Pensacola Beach. Made my wife laugh, made me laugh. But as I understand it, that's actually the third iteration. What was the first?
I think that the message we wanted to get people to get around to people, because we knew the clientele, we knew the people that were coming.
Sure.
And what we didn't want was for word to spread, hey, Pensacola Beach is where you go and
fun
have
fun place, right?
And it is a place you can go and have fun, but it's not a place you can come to tear up our beach. You know, we value our beach very well, so we want people to know that if you mess around, you'll find out what
did
what
you put that on the
place.
Board?
Well, I mean, there was a
mess is not the acronym
there,
by the way.
There was a. There was a message that you know, don't try us.
Okay.
Is kind of what I'm going with.
Good.
And then I looked at it, and it seemed like we had a couple of fights, and they were all ladies that were
okay.
fighting.
Yeah, we know one famously, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and so I said, well, let's just, you know, remind them. The girls may want to have fun, but if you fight, you can go to jail. And then the third one was, I'm not sure exactly
something
what the wording
generic,
was on
I'm
that.
Sure.
Yeah, it was
okay.
basically don't mess
enough.
Up our beach. But we've done this the last couple of years. We just want to make sure that we get people's attention.
I do want to make sure we note coming up this weekend at the Five Flags Speedway from 10 to 2 on Saturday, Cops, Cars, and Crawfish, right?
Yeah, our third annual Cars, Cops, and Crawfish. It's the Sheriff's Foundation. It's their largest fundraiser, and if you recall there, they fund the Blazer Academy, both the men's and the mm-hmm. ladies' Blazer Academy.
They fund movie nights.
They fund Dream Big program. And then they also obviously support the men and women of the Sheriff's Office.
I don't want to get into it too much, but the world's greatest charter boat captain? You guys have water patrol, water enforcement,
well,
right?
It's funny because I
or
walked in.
Or is it all
in,
fish and FWC?
What's odd about it is when I walked in, I heard you say you were the world's best radio host you'll ever hear. I don't know. I didn't know what was going on in here. But I will tell you
I'm not boarding any other talk shows, you know, in the morning and getting them on a GoPro.
Hijacking that sort of
yeah,
thing.
Right.
Piracy. I saw the video, and I obviously when I see those videos on social media, I'm
dumbfounded.
Sure it's not from here, and I'm angered for the 21-year-old.
Yeah, yeah.
That this bully would take the actions that he did. I think it's very dangerous for you to board another person's boat in anger.
He's lucky
you know,
he didn't die. Uninvited. I mean, frankly, in that process, yeah, or get seriously hurt.
You know, I'm not the world's greatest swimmer you ever hear of. So if you board my boat, I'm assuming you're going to hurt me, if
yeah.
not kill me. And I think that's a very dangerous thing to do. And we see videos like that, not like this, obviously, but we see and hear these disagreements that take place mm-hmm. on waterway. People are trying to fish here, and people cross their lines, or scuba divers, is all that type of stuff. So, but we do hear about those. We worked with Game and Fish or
mm-hmm.
Florida
fish
or FWC
mm-hmm.
now. And the Coast Guard obviously handles some of that stuff as well. So in that case, I think they even had three different agencies.
Yeah, there's several that were investigating this. And he's been arrested now, too.
Arrest, yeah. And for felony, and I think that that's absolutely correct.
Last thing, I just wanted to give you a chance to talk about, obviously, horrible story out of Walton County. We had a deputy who was doing everything right and winds up losing his life in a shooting incident over in Walton County. You guys were involved in this, obviously, Honor Walk and the Honor Parade. A caravan for him. You're wearing a black ribbon across your badge right now mm-hmm. in honor
morning
of
band,
Deputy
yes.
May. I just wanted to give you a chance maybe for a minute because that's kind of all we got left, but I'll give you a minute to talk about this and what it's meant to your agency and, you know, how when this happens, what happens?
Well, and obviously our thoughts and prayers go out to the deputy's family and to Walton County Sheriff's Office. I spoke to Sheriff Atkinson a couple times over last week, and then whenever they went to collect and to escort the body back from Santa Rosa, mm-hmm. from Sacred Heart to Walton County. And they talked about how their agency is doing, how they're handling it. It's a shock. And when we hear of these things, certainly one that's local in our circuit, Walton County Sheriff's Office is close enough. And like I said, we all share the same circuit. So we work together on a lot of things. And so we know some of our deputies know their deputies. We're in a lot of training classes together.
Yeah.
So you hear these things and you wonder, you know, again, you're reminded that that could happen here.
Yeah.
As we're talking right now, we're probably responding to four or five of those types of trespassing calls as we speak. And in this particular case, he was simply escorting the guy out, and then he turned and started firing at the deputy. Sheriff Atkinson has said that there was nothing tactically that he did wrong. And there are so many right ways to do this thing and a couple of wrong ways to do things, but you just never know.
Yeah.
And it kind of reminds us that this is a dangerous job, and we deal with people with mental illness. We deal with people that are that are under the influence
on an
hourly basis. And as it makes you kind of appreciate the people that are still willing to do the job.
I have a weird, the way my brain works kind of question, but when there's the funeral, when there's people are just can't do their job because they're so upset or depressed, mm-hmm. Is there any, do you send officers over there to cover shifts and patrols, like to backstop them like you would in a disaster?
We can, yes.
Okay.
And we've done that in the past. Because Walton County is close enough to us, then we obviously offered whatever they needed, whether it's just because you said they don't have enough manpower at that particular shift, or if it's during the funeral, which will take place on Saturday, which unfortunately we have our other event. But
right.
So we have offered to do what we can. And typically what will happen is the surrounding counties, Okaloosa
will
County, and then there's another counties to the east will help. And then we may backfill with them, with their manpower. But we're going to do whatever we can to help our friends over in Walton County. And we know that they do the same thing for us.
Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, thank you for what you do. Thanks for keeping us informed. Have a great event this Saturday, and we'll talk to you again next week.
You bet. You take care.
Absolutely. 5:54 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay, and if you are considering the possibility of doing a real estate transaction, and I say that on purpose, considering, because I know the typical way we do things is we kind of make a decision to sell or buy a house. I'm going to buy a rental. I'm going to buy a beach house. I'm going to sell my house and move to a different location. I'm going to upgrade, downgrade, whatever. And then you figure out which realtor is going to help you implement that decision. Let me give you a different alternative. Instead, maybe call Christina Leavenworth, who sells, a couple hundred homes every single year. Call her and say, hey, do you think right now is a good time to buy a rental? What would it really take for me to get into a beach house as a second home? What do you think the tariffs are going to have an effect on housing in the next 6 months? And then, based on her expert advice or opinion, then you can make a good decision. You see what I'm saying? Like, if you're going to use an expert, maybe ask the expert before you decide what to do in order to figure out what to do. And she loves talking to people about real estate. Like, she loves, meeting people, making new friends. If you become a client, that's great. If you don't, that's great. No problem. She always says it on Pep Talk, same thing, that, she loves talking to people, answering questions. So give her a call and you can tell her I said so. Andrew McKay always says, you can just call and ask questions. Can I just call and ask a question? And then, she'll say yes, and you can talk. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinky Realty.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Okay, let's talk about renovation and how it's not like your ordinary happy ending home makeover show. Example, they're the guys who prey on homeowners and never show up to do the work. So that's why the state of Florida licenses contractors. You can check if your contractor is licensed at the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation website at myfloridalicense.com.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
In a world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand, and we have your back. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us today on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Start your mornings off informed with all things Pensacola on the Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
All right, you alien. In the words of my generation, up yours!
Ah, yes. Up yours, the rallying cry of an entire generation who was eager to follow Randy Quaid or Will Smith into space, depending on which part of the story you like better. 5:58, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, I told you we watched, I always want to get their name wrong. It's H Kitty, I can't remember, Horseshoe Kitty. The other night we saw them out at Flounders, and they played some Blink-182. I mean, it's fun stuff. David Wayne is in the newsroom. Got a headline or two for us, David.
The Trump administration is now reversing course and reinstating a number of emergency food programs that had been cut. Several media outlets are saying the administration terminated all remaining USAID contracts for the delivery of emergency food, water, and medicine to impoverished
nations.
Local
news every hour and breaking news when it matters most. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
All right, sorry, David. We kind of, got interrupted there so rudely. Go ahead, sir.
That is all right. USAID, the administration terminated all remaining USAIDs for the contracts for the delivery of the food to impoverished nations. The World Food Program warned those cuts could amount to a death sentence for millions of people facing extreme hunger and starvation. Yesterday, reports say USAID, though, restored all funding for its emergency food programs in Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, Jordan, Ecuador, and Somalia.
Yeah, this is going to be an ongoing process, right? Figuring out what USAID is going to have, not have, what programs are going to be permanently eliminated, what countries are going to benefit. I mean, everything else under the Trump administration, there was a lot of plates spinning. And the one thing I want to encourage people about is, whatever else you might say about the Trump administration, they have not hidden what they're doing. It is all out there. They put out amazing number of press releases all the time. News Radio 92.3 WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Pensacola, and Milton.